Everybody, we are heading back from Anarchapoca right now in San Diego, and just finished doing a walk and talk, and Tina had some questions on something else. I'm like, you know what, let's just save the questions, because all, like 99.9999% of everything we do, nothing ever makes it on camera, and really, that's really the story of our lives, just like most people. But you know what, I feel like we just like always have the cameras rolling, because there's always something going on. But what was the question you had when we were going for that little walk and talk?
So when you were in our interview and you guys were talking about investing in cryptocurrencies and gold, and then you were also saying that people should invest in making sure that you have food and whatnot to eat and covering that as well. On the cryptocurrencies and gold, I was wondering what happens when the Agenda 2030 plays out and the population highly reduces, obviously. The part that you said, that we invest in our own homes and have the food available, the food sources taken care of, that makes sense. But what happens with the cryptocurrencies and the gold when there's not that many people left in the world?
Now, that is a great question, and I got to caveat this by saying this is not investment advice. Do your own research. And when price, you have to understand what you're pricing things in. So I think when all-out pandemonium breaks loose, having the preps, you know, being able to eat, that's going to outweigh having Bitcoin, especially if there's going to be a cyber attack. But when you price something in dollars and we're going through what would, in my opinion, be a dollar collapse, you could have Bitcoin be, you know, millions and millions of dollars, but, you know, the dollar would go away. But I think in that type of collapse, you would have things like gold and silver and food and ammo would be more relevant, because, you know, at that point people are just trying to survive. You're not going to the mall, not that we go to the mall anyways, but you're not going to these different places and spending your Bitcoin, because there's not going to be anything to buy at that point. And if there's a cyber attack, you know, I don't want to say when there's a cyber attack, but we all know the video of Klaus Schwab. I think it was like 2 years ago on July 9th, and he was out there saying, oh, and we all know that there's a coming cyber pandemic that's going to make this current pandemic seemed like a minor disturbance compared to what's coming with the cyber attack. So, you know, and then you've got Obama coming out with his film about what's going to, you know, I forgot what the thing was called, but about basically a grid down cyber attack. And so in those, for whatever interim period, there's not electricity, you know, whether there's like an EMP carrying event, at that point, Bitcoin's not going to be the most useful thing. What's going to be a useful thing is making sure your family survives, making sure you can eat, making sure you don't have to get the mark to you know, stand in some sort of bread line or go to a FEMA camp. And it really kind of harkens back to that Hank Williams Jr. song where, you know, a country boy will survive. You can't starve us out, you can't make us run. That's going to be more important. So in that place, you know, local laws notwithstanding, you know, guns and ammo, and that I think is going to be very important. Gold and silver bartering. Now, there are ways to transact Bitcoin. I'm not nerd dork techie enough to figure it out. I just haven't done it. But you can actually do it through like ham radio. And something like a ham radio, that's going to be valuable. Like real, like solar panels in that type of environment, you know, presuming they still work after like some sort of Carrington event, that's going to be probably incredibly valuable, in my opinion. So it's not, you know, everybody wants to have like this singular track mindset and like put all their eggs in like one basket. Like it's gotta be gold, it's gotta be silver. Speaking of eggs in basket, having chickens, I think eating that, but then you've gotta then have a way to feed the chickens. So one thing we've been trying to figure out, because the input cost on our chicken feed has been like through the roof. Probably spending about $450 a month on chicken feed. Now I did find a way, it's like the most organic, non-GMO chicken feed available. And, you know, I did find another supplier, and sometime in about, of course, I've got an alarm going off here on my phone, but sometime in the next month and a half, I'm going to be able to pick up like a huge order. I think it's like, I'm probably going to pick up like 600 pounds of chicken feed just all at once. And, you know, it's going to be dramatically cheaper. It's probably going to be getting the cost closer down to like, maybe like $150 a month, which, you know, basically express another way, going from like 10 bucks a dozen to probably closer to four, not including labor, not including, you know, misting system, like all the initial capital investment or time we spend. Because, you know, it's one thing just to, you know, go out and put a, you know, 50 pounds of chicken feed out, thank you very much, there's like $100 right now, but And that's another thing to then have them where you're, you know, you're fermenting them, fermenting the chicken feed, which is, you know, creating more nutrient dense eggs, and you're having your chickens in like an environment where they're happy, and then you get to be have the benefit of being able to, you know, consume food that was, you know, basically produced with like good intentions, as opposed to some factory farm GMO where the birds are hating themselves and crapping on each other, and in a really confined environment. And actually now we don't eat chicken meat anymore after having chickens, and you know, part of it is, I don't know, maybe Tina's a little different for her, but it's more of like they're like a pet type angle. Not, they're not necessarily like a pet to me, but for me, it's, you know, you kind of see that even though it's about as clean as possible the way we're doing it, you know, they still are kind of like dirty animals, and I think like their stomachs aren't as evolved, so they're not processing it as much as you would on like a, you know, beef.
The healthiest meat to be eating, and they are really adorable, so it'd be like eating one of my dogs or cats, and I'm not doing that.
Yeah, so was there anything else? Did that help answer your question, or do you have other...
That's really the answer that I kind of also had in my head, but I was curious if you would have something more on the Bitcoin, like what it would actually do.
Yeah, obviously...
I just think that if it... I think, personally, I was always thinking just hold for the long haul and hope that it goes up so that we can take the money and put it into the farm or the house, and then... if that happens, but if it's going to happen by 2030, that's like, I just feel like there's something that we have to start, I guess, gauging it as it's happening and start pulling it out and doing more on the land.
I mean, do you want to get into maybe like any of like the Dolores Cannon stuff about how like the worlds would just kind of like maybe split apart into two, and you know, whether you want to call it, you know, the Anunnaki coming back or the Atlanteans coming back, or maybe it's none of that and there's just some sort of like consciousness shift. Because, you know, a lot of, we're looking at, you know, staring down World War III right now. And, you know, I think there are beings that were here before us and were incredibly advanced, you know, especially when you take a look at what the pyramids and the technology behind that. And then you got people out there saying like, oh, I've got some Mexicans who are building, you know, some walls and building this and that. And they're so ingenuity. And that's how, you know, that's how the pyramids are built. When the fact of the matter is, you know, some of these... You know, today I think with like the best equipment, you can maybe move like a 50-ton stone, and they had stones that were like over 1,000 tons. So, you know, you can't put them on a loader truck today. You can't put a, you know, no rope's going to move this stuff. You know, there was free energy devices that the Earth used to have. There were people, you know, the timeline of Earth is not just going back to Sumeria 6,000 years. And I do think that, you know, when it comes time to press the button for nuclear annihilation, that there might be non-human entities that are going to prevent that. But then there's probably other bad non-human entities that would like to see that happen. So, you know, there's another battle sort of, you know, as above, so below. So there's, you know, battles down here on Earth, and there's probably going to be battles up there in the sky. And, you know, some people probably rolling their eyes thinking it's crazy, but, you know, it's not really anything crazier than what's in the Bible. It's not anything that's crazier than in the Mahabharata or the Bhagavad Gita or the Atrasi or the Enuma Elish, or like every sort of, or the Quran, or, you know, whatever your religion is. And people a lot of times are, you know, kind of arguing over like the same thing. Like, so like, okay, we'll believe in like angels or fallen angels or... but you know, but there's no demons, or there's no, you know, this or that. And really, a lot of it is the same thing. I mean, the Anunnaki. I think Anunnaki even means like beings from heaven, or beings that came down from heaven, which basically sounds like an angel, if you interpret it that way. I mean, it's a very, very, very similar. So you know, I think people get caught up on these terms of definitions.
I don't know where to go from there. The Dolores Cannon stuff. I mean, for me, I'm not even playing off the last part that you said because I was not paying attention. But on the Dolores Cannon part of it, for me, a lot of people are in fear of what's going to happen. And I kind of feel like we're going to be protected. I don't think they're really going to go after the small percentage that are. I actually kind of think in a way they want to weed out the ones that are not awake and want to be left with the world that has people like us in it. And I feel like what's going to happen is there, as far as from what I've read with Dolores Cannon, that there's going to be kind of like, the way it's explained is kind of hard for that mind to wrap around, but almost like there'll be two worlds, And those that aren't waking up will be in their lower vibrational world still trying to get it. And those that have awakened or are on their awakening will be living in a world that is the world that we want. Like, we'll be with more like-minded people. And it won't be that it'll almost be the way it was explained. It was kind of like, you know, there's people out there that you knew in kindergarten that are still somewhere in this world, but they're not part of your world anymore. And that kind of separation will happen more and more, and we will be left with basically our tribe in the end. I'm not sure how it all exactly plays out, but personally, I kind of have peace with what's happening, and that I just have no fear in where this is all heading. And I refuse to be in fear. And the thing is, if I go out because of whatever is happening, I feel like I've gone out being true to myself every step of the way, and it's a good way to go. I've lived a good life.
No fear, no fear, no fear. We are here, so trying to make our way back to Phoenix.
Enjoy the ride.
Take care.